We are called to care. Called to care. Have you ever heard someone explain or heard yourself say, well, I don't really care about that. Well, I don't care. I'm not really bothered by it. I don't really care. Depending on what you're talking about, I would say that that is actually a sinful, selfish sentiment. We are called as believers, as followers of Christ, to share the same compassion that Jesus Christ had on this earth. This is a true story. There was a believer, a follower of Jesus, arguing with an atheist on an airplane. They were sitting near each other, and so they got into this conversation. I don't know how the topic of religion came up, but usually when you sit down, you don't say, so, what religious affiliation are you? Probably not the best thing to start out a relationship with a stranger on an airplane, but if it comes up, as it should, being followers of Jesus at some point, walking out the ways of Christ, this particular believer, however, was starting an argument, and it had become quite vehement. She was really succeeding, if you will, in making her arguments, and you could see the atheist was starting to slink down in his chair ever so slightly, wishing he had any other seat on the airplane other than the one he currently occupied. And finally, she was very forceful for the gospel, to the point of possibly being badgering. And finally, she let this atheist get a word in edgewise, and he said this. He said, I would love to listen to what you have to say about Jesus if you first listened to what I have to say about my life. I would love to listen to what you have to say about Jesus if you first had to listen to what I had to say about my life. There's an old a saying that goes, they don't care what you know unless they first know that you care. No matter what subject, no matter what topic, whether it's faith and religion or whether it's calculus, no one will listen to you if you're trying to convince someone or to have a conversation. They won't listen to any words you have to say unless they feel like they're appreciated or valued or noticed as a human being. They don't care what you know unless they first know that you care. And today we're talking about caring. The fact that we are called to care. We are called to have compassion. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2. There's a very sad verse, actually. Philippians chapter 2, verses 20 to 21. And it says this, I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares about your welfare. All the others care only for themselves and not for what matters to Jesus Christ. A very sad sentiment, very sad words written by the Apostle Paul. Timothy was the only person who looked out on others' behalf. The rest of the church at Philippi, they were consumed with themselves, only their own plans, their own thoughts, their own ideas. And Paul says, only Timothy. Timothy is the only one who cares. I'm not proud to admit, but sometimes I have struggled showing compassion. Pastor? Yes, I know, even me. There have been times when I was at Walmart, the wonderful world of Walmart, full of everything you could possibly imagine. I'm trying to get the glint in the sun off my eyes as I recollect. I was at Walmart, and like I said, complete chaos, okay? I don't know what's going on today, but it must be a full moon or something. I don't know. I was at Walmart, and I see a particularly needy person from the congregation, someone who seems to always have an issue or a struggle or a trial, and I have on more than one occasion ducked down an aisle, shrugged my head, and walked quickly this way to just try to avoid talking to them because I knew it would turn into a big thing. You know what I mean? And I'm not proud of this. I don't say it's funny and humorous to picture me jutting down a while like that, but I'm not proud of this fact because I missed an opportunity to minister, to be Jesus to that person. There was a missed opportunity in that moment to exercise compassion. And one of the truths I want you to understand today, one of the main things I want you to understand, is that to say that you care and to not act is to not care at all. To say that you care and to not act is to not care at all. If you say, oh, I have compassion, I want to help, I can do something, I can do this, and then you don't do it, if you have that desire and you don't act on it, it's as if you never cared in the first place to begin with. This word compassion that we're going to look at is a very hard to pronounce Greek word, and I'm going to do my best to pronounce it because I want to say it several times today, and I just stopped trying eventually in the first service because it's very difficult. It's this word, and it's pronounced splagnitzomai. Splagnitzomai. Say splag. Nid. So. My. Splagnitzomai. You'll forget it. I'll forget it. And I'll try to say it again, okay? If I go like this and turn back to this page, it's because I'm looking at the spelled out translation on my page right here, so I know how to spell it. Splagnitzomai is a Greek word, and it's used in our passage today, and it's the word compassion. But what it means in the Greek is this idea that there is a yearning in our bowels, a feeling of deep sympathy to be moved to action. And that's the key today that we're going to talk about. To be moved to action. It's this deep feeling that comes from within us, from deep within inside of us, and it moves us to action. Have you ever been watching a commercial or a documentary, and all by the end of the documentary or by the end of the first episode, you're like, I got to do something about this. I can't stand for this anymore. I must change the system. You feel empowered to go out and fight for this cause or to give to this cause or to be moved to do something about it. That's the compassion that we're talking about today. It is a great heart. It starts from deep within inside of you and it moves you, hopefully, to action. Jesus, if we look at Jesus' life, the greatest example of compassion that we know, his compassion was always, always followed by action. The compassion that Jesus had, this splagnitzomai, I did it wrong again, splagnitzomai, I always miss that first syllable. This splagnitzomai that he felt always compelled him to action. If we look at Matthew chapter 14, verse 14 says, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. He had compassion on them, and his compassion resulted in healing. Jesus gave of himself, he gave of his power, he gave them his time, and it resulted in their healing. In Matthew chapter 20, we look at verse 34, excuse me, and it says, Jesus talks about Jesus having compassion again. Once again, he had compassion on them and touched their eyes. It resulted in the men's eyesight being healed. Jesus had that splagnitzomai, and when he did that, I told you, and when he did that, it resulted in this man's eyesight being healed. Matthew 6, 33 through 34 says this. It talks about Jesus having compassion on the crowd. Many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all of the towns and got there ahead of them. Jesus was sailing across the lake, and people from all over said, ah, I know where he's going to dock. I know where he's going. And they ran to that place. And when he came, there was a crowd, a multitude of people there. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he taught them, he instructed them, he gave them wisdom from the Father. Because every time in the Word it says Jesus had compassion on them, he backs it up with his actions. He didn't just feel really bad for them and then slowly paddle his boat back out to the lake again and drive the other way. Poor guys. All right, see ya. All right, okay. He had compassion on them, and he did something about it. He acted. The idea we need to understand is that the closer I get to Christ, the more I should think like he did and desire to do what he did. The more I act like Christ, the closer I get to him. Do you understand? The closer I get to Christ, the more I want to act like him and be like him. And the more that I act like him, the closer I get to Christ. It's a cyclical pattern, but in the same way, the opposite is true. The further I am from Christ, the less of a desire I have to be like him and do what he did. The more I ignore the things that Christ did, the less I am like him. When I duck down that aisle to get away from that person who probably, possibly had a need that they wanted to talk about, I was less like Christ in that moment. If you want to examine how far away from Christ you might think you are, there's no real scale per se, but are you concerned with doing the things that he did? Do you do the things that he did? Do you act on that compassion that he had? We're going to look today at the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, the famous parable. And I want to paraphrase it for you today. A lawyer came to Jesus and asked him, "Who is my neighbor?" Which is what inspired this story. Jesus said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." And the lawyer says, "Well, who is he? Who is my neighbor? Is it the guy I literally live next to?" Okay, because he is a jerk. All right? No, is it the guy that I live next to? Is it the person I sit next to in class? Is it my students? Because he was a lawyer, he was a teacher kind of deal. Okay, and so Jesus starts in on this story, this parable of this man who's going from Jerusalem to Damascus. Now, what you need to understand about this road is it was kind of like the seedy part of town, if you will. People purposely didn't go there by themselves. They avoided this road at all costs because there was a dramatic elevation difference between Jerusalem and Damascus. If you look at the story of Saul, on the road to Damascus, he had a whole armed guard with him. There were soldiers on horses going with him because this road was not safe to travel. Because of the large difference in elevation, there were crags and there were cliffs and hills and boulders, things for people that were up to no good to hide behind. You did not go down this road with valuables. People were afraid to go down this road because they were afraid of their very life being threatened. Well, in Jesus' story, the people who were listening to this would have understood the seriousness of one man walking alone down this road from Damascus to Jerusalem. And they knew what was probably coming next, and it happened. He was caught by burglars, by thieves. He was beaten within an inch of his life. They took his clothes. It was 4-on-1, and they left him bleeding, left for dead in the middle of the street. As you know, as you may know, a pastor walked by, justifying why he shouldn't touch him. Pastor walked by on the other side of the road, didn't touch him, probably thinking, "Oh, I've got to get to my, temple." I don't have time to help this guy. Maybe I shouldn't touch someone who's bleeding. It's in the Torah. It's in the law. He justified to himself why he should push his compassion off to the side and not act. Then a teacher, a Bible teacher, walked by the same way. Same thing. Justifying every step of the way why he shouldn't act. We do it all the time, don't we? We do it all the time. You say, "Oh, I'm running late. I don't have enough money." "That looks like a really messy situation. I don't want to get involved in that." "I don't have the resources to give. I've never handled that before. I don't want to even know the first thing. I have nice clothes on. I can't help them there. I'm going to get my nice shirt all mussied up." We make excuses all the time on why we shouldn't show compassion for others, why we can't get involved, why we can't give of ourselves. We make excuse after excuse instead of doing what Jesus did and show compassion, giving of ourselves. To say that we care and do nothing is to not care at all. We're going to examine three different truths about compassion today. The first one is that compassion interrupts. Compassion interrupts. This was a divine interruption. A divine interruption. Something that we didn't plan for. Something that we didn't anticipate on doing, but God did. In Luke chapter 10, in our passage today, verses 33 and 34, it says, "But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him." That Samaritan, the word, excuse me, in this passage that the Samaritan exhibited is that splagnitzomai, okay? Splagnitzomai, he exhibited this pity on him. He had compassion. And this is unheard of. The people also who are listening to this would have heard this story and been offended. What is he saying? There was extreme racism going on at that time against Samaritans. Samaritans were thought of as half-breeds. They were half Gentile, half Jew, and they were less than. They were, if a Jew encountered a Samaritan walking down the street, they would go around the entire city, an entire block, to get past, so they didn't have to cross paths with a Samaritan. It was dramatic and it was severe. And still, in the midst of the hatred that the Samaritan knew would have been there, he got down on one knee, two knees. He helped the man who was bleeding on the seat. He acknowledged, hey, there's someone with a need here. They need my help. There's need running all over the pavement, okay? There is a need here. I'm going to do what I can to help. He simply viewed that Jew as another human being. He acknowledged that they had, that person had value. There was something, there was a that was a person. They weren't just, it wasn't a Jew, it was just a person. And they needed help right now. And he said, I have the resources, I can help. I have some things to dress his wounds. And so he lifts him up, he places him on his own camel. Someone else, if he was not moved by compassion, he might have dressed the wounds and then just kind of let him sit there. My camel could get dirty. You know how hard those things are to wash? Okay? But no, he picked him up on the back of his own camel, this bloodied, broken man, and said, I can help. I can do it. And the thing we need to understand is that he didn't plan on helping a dying man that day. He had his own business to attend to. He got up in the morning going to Damascus or to Jerusalem. We don't really know why he was going there. Jesus didn't give us a motivation. But he didn't plan. He didn't wake up that morning and say, I'm going to help the first dying man I find. That's my goal. Can't wait till I can check that off my to-do list. Help dying man. Awesome. He didn't plan for it. How could he? But yet, when he found it, he found the situation, he saw the need, his compassion moved him to act. In another shopping trip of mine, I didn't duck down an aisle. I was at Target, and I saw someone else from church, and I came over and said hi, and we started talking, and right there in the middle of Target, it turned into a counseling session. We had some prayer time. A little mini revival right there in the middle of Target. Because I was moved for compassion in that moment, I could have very easily snuck down the aisle, lowered my head, and say, not today, Jesus, okay? But I didn't. I went over, and that person was fed that day. They received encouragement. They received counsel. They received what God gave me to give to that person. Because I walked in obedience. And that's not just for me. I want you to understand this. This is not a sermon directed at pastors. Well, I guess I don't have to listen to this one. I don't have my license yet, okay? This is for all of you. We are all followers of Jesus Christ. We are all called to the same compassion and care. I'm just giving you stories from my life because this is what I know, right? Okay? But in that moment, I was able to help and minister to that person. We prayed and we left. Maybe in your life, you'll find out that a coworker just was diagnosed with cancer. Maybe you'll find out that someone's wife just walked out on them. Or someone just lost their job, someone that you know from high school. Someone's losing their apartment, their home. I don't know who God is going to put in your place, but you need to be ready when that comes to act out of compassion. When you feel that welling up inside of you and say, man, I feel for this person. I should act. I should do something. Don't duck down the aisle. Don't push it out of your mind and say no. Say, what can I do? God can use you in compassion. You need to look for it. Look for opportunities that God can use you. The second truth that we need to understand is that compassion costs. Compassion costs something. It requires us to give sacrificially. In verse 35 of our passage, it says, the next day he took out 2 denarii. Now, we need to understand, because that doesn't translate days, but a denarius was worth 1 day's wage. So whatever that guy earned in 1 day, he gave the innkeeper 2 denarii. He gave them to the innkeeper, said, look after him, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. He didn't say, all right, I've done my part. You guys take it from here. He didn't say, I've done what I can. I've addressed his wounds. Here you go. I hope he doesn't stain your bed too much, okay? Go take care of him, and whatever happens, I really hope he survives. I'm headed to my interview, wherever the Samaritan was going. No, he said, if it costs more than this, I'll be back and I will pay the difference. I will pay you what it costs. You see, his compassion, it hurt. Maybe those 2 denarii, maybe this Samaritan was good at saving and he had an account to pull from, and those 2 days' worth of pay, maybe that didn't hurt him that much. Maybe he was a single guy, he was a bachelor, and he was just, you know, living it up. I don't know. But maybe that 2 denarii didn't hurt. But I'll tell you what did hurt, definitely, when he came back the next day and the guy said, well, he needed an x-ray and a chest tube and all this. That would be 5,000 denarii, okay? Whatever it cost, he said, I will pay the difference when I get back. It stretched him. It hurt a little. My challenge today for you is to find a way to be compassionate that it hurts a little. That it moves you beyond what you're comfortable with and moves you to an area that you may be a little uncomfortable with. In my own life, there was someone who attended church today. He is now passed on, but his name is Roland Flager, and many of you knew him. One day I got a call from Roland, and he needed medicine. He needed to refill his meds, his prescription, and he asked me if he would take me to his doctor's office so he could get them refilled. And he lived all the way in Gouldsboro, and his doctor was in Scranton. Or Gouldsboro and Scranton, wherever they are on a map, try to picture it in your head. And so I was like, okay, let me talk to my wife, because family comes first. I want to make sure my wife is honored in my decisions and I'm not absent in my household. My duties as father is important to me, and I do not want to slack on that. And so I talked it over with her, and she said, yeah, that's fine, let's go. You can go. And so I called him back, and I said, all right. I was going to make sure it happened either way. I was going to make sure someone got his meds refilled. Someone was able to give him a call. The question was whether I could do it or not at that moment. And so I went. And I called him back and I said, sure. And it was a Wednesday night. I had a Bible study to plan for and prepare for. And I wasn't quite done planning and preparing for it. And I gave most of my day running to Gouldsboro, getting Roland, bringing him in my little Mazda, which is a funny sight, by the way, bringing him down to Scranton, and then going back to Gouldsboro to take him home, and then coming back to Troop, where I shoved some food down my face and ran off to church again to make sure I was at church on time. My point in telling you this is not to brag, look how great I am, but just to show that it hurt. There was a sacrifice that I made that day. I sacrificed my time. I sacrificed time with my family. I sacrificed time that I could have been working on my lesson for that evening as a class, but I sacrificed it because of compassion. My question, my challenge was, what area would it hurt for you to be compassionate in? My challenge is to seek out an area and grow in it by doing it. Seek out whatever area you'd say, this hurts. Maybe for you, money isn't that much of an issue. You say, I have large savings. If I see a need, I can fork over some cash at someone, and it really doesn't affect me a whole lot. I might have to replenish my savings, or I might have to get, you know, go a week without lattes or something at Dunkin' Donuts. I don't know. But you say, that doesn't really hurt too much. But maybe your schedule is so jam-packed that giving of your time is a much heavier sacrifice for you. Maybe giving even a couple minutes of your day is a sacrifice. I encourage you, I challenge you to ask God, challenge me, give me opportunities to be generous with my time, to show compassion in my time, because for me, that would be really difficult. Maybe for you, finances are difficult. It would be difficult for you to just give generously to someone in that area because finances are tight. I challenge you to ask God to give you opportunities to show compassion in your finances. And I promise you, you will grow in that process. As you exhibit compassion, as you put it into action and do it, and it hurts, God will honor that. If you're doing it in the right attitude, understanding that God is foremost in your mind, He is the one you are trying to please, you will grow spiritually closer to God. You will grow in your faith as you see the benefits. And I believe that He will bless you because of that. Our third and final thing ties right into this, and that compassion changes lives. Compassion changes lives. If we look at the life of Jesus, His life was all about compassion. We look at the Gospels, He is frequently interrupted. He frequently gives, spends time, heals, cares. He has that compassion. He has that spagnizomai, and He gives it frequently. It's this yearning to do something about a situation, and He acted on it all the time. He felt deeply compelled to act. We don't act enough. We don't act enough. When we have opportunities to serve, opportunities to give, opportunities to be Jesus, so many times we shrink away and sneak down that aisle and ignore the opportunities that He gives us. We need to act more often out of the compassion the Holy Spirit puts in our lives. Because that's what it is. It's the Holy Spirit going, hey, I got this opportunity. I got this thing you can do. And you really need to feel passionate about it because guess what? Jesus felt passionate about it. Jesus gave up on these things, gave to these things all the time. And you need to do it. It starts from in here, this fire burning inside of us. And it's the Holy Spirit saying, yes, do it, do it. I would do it. You should do it. Go, 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 go. So much we quench that fire, we push it aside and say, someone else will do it. Someone else will get to it. I don't have time to do that. I don't have the resources. I don't have the money to do that. Jesus' ministry, because He gave Himself even to death, it changed lives. My conversations with Roland on the way to and from the doctor, I was able to talk to and hear from and get to know this man who was hurting. I was able to hear his insecurities, his issues, his trials, his family struggles, things that he was dealing with, his history, where he came from. And I was enriched too. I didn't just get to minister to him, but my life was enriched and encouraged as I did it as well. You see, compassion doesn't just change others' lives, it changes your life as well. Compassion doesn't just affect other people. It enriches who you are. Why? Because you're doing what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. The Holy Spirit explodes when you do that and says, wow, you're doing it. You're living out the gospel. And you feel like $1 million when you experience and you give compassion to someone. When you aren't content to just sit on the spagnitzomai, but you go and you act it out and you move. You take emotion, you walk it out and do something for someone that you wouldn't have expected yourself to do. Maybe something that hurts. Take you out of your comfort zone a little bit. When you just sneak by compassion, when you just dart down the aisle instead of confronting that issue or someone that may have a struggle, you not only miss the opportunity to being used by God as a minister of the gospel yourself, but you also miss an opportunity to be enriched and ministered to who you are. It's a two-way street, people. It's a two-way street. You get a chance to minister to them, and as you do that, as you realize what God is doing through you, it just lights a fire inside of you that you can't put out. And you want to do it again and again and again. We are called by God to care this morning. We are called by God to show compassion wherever and whenever we can because His Son did it. Because God has compassion on us. Though we are lost in sin, though we stumble and fall, He has compassion. And it motivates God to, I don't know, send His Son, to die on a cross, to take a beating for you and for me. The world is watching. What are we going to do with it? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your gospel. We thank you for your word which speaks life, which brings truth. Father, we thank you for your own compassion that you express towards us. Lord, that as we receive that, Lord, that we would act out compassion ourselves. That when we see a need, when we see something, we wouldn't say, man, I hope somebody really takes care of that. And when we see a need, we wouldn't wait for someone else, but that we could act on our own. We would contribute. We would do something active and watch how we, God ministers through us and how we are ministered to as well. How much we are encouraged, how much we are set afire by that act of compassion. Lord, it is only through your help that we can do this because we can't do it on our own. On our own, we seek self. We seek ourselves way too much. Help us to act. Help us to act when we see a need. Help us to do something. We are called to care. You call us to care. And we need your help to act it out. Bless us today as we go. We love you, Father. By your will, through the sacrifice of your Son and the power of your Holy Spirit, all God's people said, amen. Go out there, act in compassion to whoever you meet, and be blessed.